a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get moving with Maria. Inspiration to spend a few minutes each day to get moving on the small things that can make a big difference in your life.
Thank you for joining us today for Let's Get Moving. With me is Brett Makiff. He's the physical activities coordinator for the Utah Health Department. And Brett, I was kind of excited to see this new peer review study that came out showing that, 7,000 steps a day actually makes a difference in our lives. And the reason I was excited is because we always hear that 10,000 number. And 10,000 isn't always that easy for folks.
No, it's really not. And in fact, it's such an interesting thing that we now have data to support what we've really actually known for some time, that the whole idea of 10,000 steps was really more or less a marketing campaign. And we have had some amazing research that has validated that, yeah, if you're walking 10,000 steps, that's going to be a good thing for your health overall. It's going to help you live longer, live better, live happier. But this new study is actually saying maybe we don't need as much as we thought.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to me that the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has not really recommended a specific number of steps per day. As you mentioned, it was just pretty much that 10,000 was really a marketing tool by outside people.
And it's kind of been this not really dirty and not really secret that we've known that it's not necessarily been something we've needed that much. We've always encouraged people to utilize the 150 minutes of moderate intensity physical activity per week or the 75 minutes of vigorous intensity physical activity. And a lot of people have tried to just convert that into something that's very, very simple as a simple step. We for a long time utilized these pedometers, which were amazing tools. They were fantastic for worksite health promotion practice to get people saying, I have a tool that I did not have before. And we've got now so many people using it on their phone that we've made these big assumptions that this is how it had to be. So to have this new research coming out of this journal is kind of a great little supporter for what we've already known and believed for a long time.
Mm-hmm. So should we actually put a step number on our physical activity, or how can we use this information to better help us be more active and healthier?
You know, how you measure the amount of activity you get really does come down to your own personal preference. For instance, I like to keep track of the number of minutes. For me, that's just a real simple thing. But also knowing that the type of activity I'm doing is going to change from low to moderate to intense throughout my workouts. Also, when we look at things like miles, if you're going to count the number of miles, well, everybody's got a different stride length. Everybody's got a different way of cycling through their motion. And that also becomes very, very different when you're talking about steps. So, for instance, if you've got a person who is like my son, 6'5", and has a stride length that'll just run me into the ground versus my daughter, who, she's going to hate me for this, may not have that same level of stride.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very different when we're talking miles. But again, how you walk is going to be very different. If you're doing a quick shuffle versus a long stride, you can really play and manipulate those things. So truly, if you like that thing, whatever that is, whether it's steps, miles, or minutes, use that and be consistent with it. Now, from our research and our science and the academic perspective, we are, of course, going to look for something that's going to be the cleanest, the most accurate for all people. But as an individual, you know, you look at what works for you and see what you're able to do. Have I decreased my amount of physical activity? Have I stayed the same or have I increased?
So what do we know about, though, at least getting 7,000 steps per day and how that impacts our health?
That was a really good part of the study. Okay, so kind of as a bit of a background, we have a number of these, what we call longitudinal studies, or really long-lasting studies. They go on for years and decades in many cases. This one had an average follow-up of just under 11 years. And in this specific part of it, they were tracking about 2,000 people out of the 5,000 they had. That is a huge number. So we can really make a lot of big, broad sweeping assumptions based on it. But what they found is that those people who are getting less than 7,000 steps, when they were compared to the people getting more than 7,000 steps, those that were getting those 7,000 steps or more were getting about 50 to 70% lower risk of dying compared to those people who are getting less than 7,000 steps. That's a lot of saying 7,000 steps. But what it comes down to is saying when we have a certain cutoff like that, it is so powerful for us to say, oh, that could be our baseline from where we can go. Is it going to hurt you to do more? Not necessarily. I mean, if you're doing 40,000 steps a day, number one, good on you. You're probably doing a lot more work than we're worried about you. But if you're getting just over 7,000, you're going to be able to say, I'm going to probably live better. I'm going to probably live longer and probably live happier along the way.
How important is it just to improve what you are doing?
That was one of the big parts of that study was those people who started off with something like 1,000 or 2,000 steps a day, when they were able to increase from that, either bumping it up by 1,000 or more, they were able to see the greatest impact on their health. So just across the board, we have what we call a dose response. The more you get of something, the more impact it has. Exercise is like that up to a certain point. And if you're starting at a very low level, then the more activity you do gives you more of an impact. Then somebody who, say, has been running 10Ks and marathons for their whole life, they're not going to see as much of a change from little incremental increases in steps, miles, or minutes, but they're going to be able to say, hey, I'm able to maintain that for a long period. Our biggest impact are those people who have not been doing a lot, but now are doing something.
Right. Biggest takeaway, what would you like to leave people with?
Move every day. Get a chance to get up and walk and stretch those legs. Do anything you can, because apparently it doesn't take as much as we used to say, but it does take a bit of effort.
Brett, thank you.
We can all do that.
Thank you so much for your time today.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.